and we're broadcasting today from KCUR in Kansas City, a city on the border of two states, including Kansas, which is dealing with the aftermath of a bold economic experiment, massive tax cuts. It started in 2010 when the state's governor, Republican Sam Brownback, was elected. 2010 was a year when many states were struggling to rebound after the Great Recession.
Kansas, for years, had been thought of as being somewhat behind other states in the region in terms of their growth.
That's Kenneth Criz, a professor of public finance at Wichita State University.
There was a push, starting really with the first years of the Brownback administration, to try to do something within tax policy to help turn the tide and to make Kansas more attractive as a place to live and do business.
And what were the promises?
The promises were that the tax cut package, when passed, would create a shot of adrenaline, I think was the term that was used.
Like a shot of adrenaline straight into the heart. It'll jolt our state and give us a dynamic growth. We need that.
That's Governor Brownback, who said his plan would boost growth by attracting more people and business to Kansas and would add an additional 22,000 jobs over 5 years. The plan reduced the number of tax brackets for individual income from 3 to 2 and cut taxes on both. And there was one more thing.
One of the fundamental pieces of it was the exemption of pass-through income, so income that was reported on the individual tax return, but was passed through from non-corporate entities.
Think small businesses like sole proprietorships, partnerships, and S-corporations. Business revenue can be taxed as individual income. When the plan was implemented in Kansas, Brownback had dropped the pass-through tax to zero.
So we took to zero the income tax on all LLCs, sub-S's, and sole proprietorships. So any income under LLCs, sub-S, sole proprietorship, zero income tax. And the reason for that... The reason for that is that's your job-creating machine.
The problem, says Kenneth Criz, is that the 0% tax was too easy for companies to exploit.
There are a lot of really big companies that are actually LLCs, like big law firms, in this state, oil exploration companies.
And they were able to take advantage of a 0% tax rate under this proposal.
Exactly. And a lot of them did that. And what it also created, I think it's fair to say, is a lot of relabeling. So most famously, a couple of the basketball coaches were alleged to have retitled themselves as independent contractors in order to be able to take advantage of it for their multi-million dollar incomes.
And were the proponents saying that the plan would pay for itself?
Yes. In fact, it was. They were predicting there would be so much revenue that the state wouldn't know what to do with it.
The theory of the plan, supply side or trickle-down economics, has long held the favor of Republicans, and it comes directly from the playbook of Arthur Laffer.
Any serious model tells you that economic growth always leads to increases in revenues, not reductions in revenue.
Laffer is considered by many to be the father of supply-side economics. He advised President Reagan and played a part in designing the economic platform for the Trump presidential campaign. He also helped create the Kansas tax plan, and he believes in it.
You know, you can look at all of these comparisons, and you really find that there's a strong pattern. Is, you know, those states that cut their tax rates or have no income tax do better.
So, is this going to be a story about Kansas finally taking its place as America's richest state, having attracted multiple Fortune 500 companies with their low tax rates? Sadly, no, says economist Kenneth Criz. So how long did it take for people to figure out that it wasn't working?
1 year. From fiscal year 2013, which was half done by the time the cuts came into place, to fiscal year 2014, which was the first year that they were in effect, revenues dropped on the order of $600 to $700 million from the individual income tax. And to put it in context, the state general fund budget is about $6 billion. And so that's 10% revenue loss in 1 year. That's a lot for any government to have to make up.
To make it up in Kansas, state lawmakers tried to balance the budget by using the state's reserves and by tapping into its highway fund. Construction projects were put on hold, pension contributions went down, and essential services like Medicaid were cut. The state also changed the school funding formula, making big cuts and closing and consolidating several school districts, which remains a particularly controversial topic in a state where school funding consumes about half the budget.
No, there's never been any jumping off a cliff quite like this.
Burdette Loomis is a political scientist at the University of Kansas in Lawrence. He says the Kansas experiment was a sea change for state politics.
From the early 70s through, honestly, through 2010, you had a combination of Republican and Democratic governors, generally Republican legislatures, but by and large, I think it was a moderate conservative government that pretty much reflected the nature of Kansans.
So what happened?
2010 happened. A national wave in the wake of Obama and Obamacare. So this occurred across the country. 700 state legislators moved from Democratic to Republican. Brownback came in. I think he probably would have won anyway, but he came in on this wave without any question he was going to win, and did. Brought in a very conservative Kansas House. The Senate wasn't up that year. Passed a revolutionary income tax bill that was supposed to send Kansas into high levels of prosperity. My personal thought here is that Brownback came back to Kansas from the Senate to demonstrate that Kansas could be this small government heaven on earth that would help him, honestly, run for president in 2012.
He didn't end up running. By 2014, the deficit issues were well known and Kansas's bond rating had been downgraded. Moderate Republicans in the legislature were actively campaigning for the Democratic candidate. Brownback barely won re-election, but his fight was far from over. His own party fought against him and overturned his tax cuts with enough votes to override the governor's veto. Again, political scientist Burdette Loomis.
By 2015, 2016, it was very clear that most Kansans did not agree with the tax cuts at all, largely because they saw declines in services or potential declines in services.
And the amazing thing is that it was the Republicans in the legislature who had to override his veto with the help of Democrats, it wouldn't have happened without Republicans.
Historically, you've had this moderate Republican slash Democratic majority. Push comes to shove, they were the majority that did things. This year, not only did you have to have a majority, you had to override Governor Brownback's veto. So you had moderate Republicans who made a resurgence in 2016. You had Democrats who did well in 2016. But the last few votes in both the Senate and the House were really quite conservative Republicans who just sucked it up and said, we really need to have revenues or this state is going to be in huge difficulties.
At the pizza shop in Johnson County, where a group of Republicans were meeting, we found Marianne Waldenmeyer, who admits the tax cuts didn't work as advertised, but she blames other factors.
I think Brownback has been a very good governor, and he's a very good man, and the experiment would not work in the state of Kansas for three reasons. The wheat crop really was an issue. The less pumping of the oil was an issue. And also the aircraft industry in the Wichita area caused a lot of the tax not to be realized. And basically, Kansas is probably not a large enough state to have that experiment work.
At a park in Lawrence, we found Kurt Hall, who's the local chair of the Democratic Party. He says the tax cuts were such a disaster, his membership went up.
Heavens, yes.
Really?
A lot of them, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That's been our problem, is how to keep them fired up and how to keep give them something to do that they feel like that, you know, they're making some headway.
Governor Brownback still has not admitted defeat, although he's leaving office soon to take a position in the Trump administration. The state is dealing with a court ruling that could require the next governor to raise taxes again because schools are deemed underfunded. And now Washington is considering a plan that looks very similar to what happened in Kansas. I asked economist Kenneth Criz about that.
My advice to Washington would be simple, is that don't be fooled that tax cuts are going to pay for themselves. Again, regardless of the structure, studies, careful academic studies have shown that tax cuts tend to pay from anywhere between 10% and 30% of their costs. So if we cut taxes by $1 trillion, we're going to probably get an extra $100 billion to $300 back in extra revenues from economic growth. But that still leaves $700 to $900 billion in cuts that'll have to be made. Those cuts also have an economic effect in drawing down the economy. So what I always tell people here is, don't kid yourself. A school teacher's salary is it might be lower than a private sector worker's salary, but it's all money that goes into the economy. So if you have to cut school teachers, if you have to cut highway workers, if you have to cut anything based upon cuts in spending, that's money out of the economy just like the tax money was in the first place.
Melissa Rooker was one of the Republican legislators who led the charge to roll back the tax cuts. She says those hoping to cut taxes in Washington should pay attention to what happened in Kansas.
We had counties in the state with not a single highway patrol officer on the beat. Riots in our prisons. The foster care system in our state it's an unbelievable disaster right now.
We'll hear more tomorrow from Melissa Rooker and today from the man who will inherit Kansas's budget mess when he becomes governor.